Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I don't even have to ask. Friday from Radio Row in the ATL. I'll take that techie out right now. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Normally, we are in the Quicken Loan Studios from Southern California, where you apply simply, you understand fully, you mortgage confidently, but we are live in the ATL, site of Super Bowl number 53. Yeah. We are on the row and will be the entire day. We are coming off one of the best days ever. In fact, it's already been an amazing day. It's already been an amazing day because when I sat down, ran into my guy, Kevin Frazier. It's already been a good day if I've seen Butter. Already saw at PHX Nola Girl. She's over the railing there. And got a Hall of Famer already. We're all lined up. Right off the very top. Listen, if there's something you want to hit on, your telephone number, as you know, is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. You can email me, too. But we are joined.
What's up? How you doing, Jim?
I am joined by Terrell Davis. He is a two-time Super Bowl champ, a Super Bowl MVP, a three-time All-Pro, a two-time NFL AP Offensive Player of the Year, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a member of the 1990s All-Decade Team, an NFL Network analyst, and on Super Bowl Sunday,
wow,
a special 8.5 hours, my man, 8.5 hour edition
marathon
of NFL Game Day morning airs at 9 a.m. Eastern.
We're giving it to them, you know? The fans want to see it. We're going to give it to them.
Dude, you got yourself a cigar, man. Way to go.
Yes, I got this.
You starting
me
early today or what?
No.
You got a scotch for that, too?
You know how it is.
I don't know how it is.
You walk around
here. I wish
here,
I did, man.
You get all these gifts to give you stuff. They give me a cigar, so.
Nah, dude. No. You know how it is. No one's giving me anything, man.
Yeah,
you get stuff like that.
I might take care of that later, though.
All right. So, listen, it's your 20th anniversary of your second Super Bowl win. You believe that, man? Isn't that crazy?
20 years. That is crazy. It doesn't feel like 20 years, to be honest with you. I mean, 20 years since the second one, right?
Second one. Oh. So, when you think about that, 102 yards rushing, 50 yards receiving, huge game. What do you remember most about that game?
That we played the Falcons. And I remember before the game more than I do the game because we had a chance to play the Vikings.
Right.
And the Falcons upset the Vikings in their home stadium for the NFC title game. We were about to play the New York Jets before that game. And I remember when the kick was missed, and we celebrated like we had won the Super Bowl because we did not want to face the Vikings. You know, we figured
they were a juggernaut that year, right?
Oh, Randy Moss was on fire. Chris Carter. They were a team that was putting up 30 points a game. And not to say we couldn't have beaten them, but I like to work smarter versus harder. And we felt the Falcons we had a better matchup against.
All right, so then you win that Super Bowl. The year before, I mean, just getting to the mountaintop is one thing, right? But then coming back, when you've got that bullseye on your back and you get everybody's best shot every single week, how much tougher is it
it's
to
tough
go back to back?
It's tough, Jim. You know, because like you just said, normally on a schedule you have about 4 to 5 games that you can circle to say, all right, these games are going to be pretty easy. We didn't have any of those games. You know, the teams that we played, even though they weren't as good, they played us like they were championship teams. So every single week we're fighting for, you know, game like Cincinnati, we're down 14 points in the fourth quarter, and we're having to come back and battle. So it's draining us every single week. You can't have that kind of consistent play, you know, the entire year. You need a few weeks where you can just kind of rest and glide. We didn't have that. So that was difficult.
Terrell Davis joining us. You know, you made some really interesting comments, I thought, about what Super Bowl week is like. Now, you said it's tough because there's a lot going on now. There are parties. There are things to do. You have a lot of opportunities. You admitted that you went out, quote, until about Thursday, and then you added, matter of fact, I went out on Friday, too.
I
got to ask you, man, how were you able to do that and still show up and dominate the way you did on Sunday? Or is that whole thing about going out totally overrated? Is that not a big deal at all?
It's overrated because here's what I was doing. I did the same thing in the Super Bowl that I did when I was back in Denver. Every Friday night, I would go out Friday night. That's my night. That's our, you know, we're free. We go out Friday night, blow off some steam, have a good time, relax. And then Saturday, you get a little rest day, and then Sunday you play. So I felt like the one thing I couldn't do was come down to a Super Bowl, change who I am and what I've been doing, because that's when you get in trouble. It's when you start doing something completely different, like, all right, it's Super Bowl, so now I need to change my routine. I'm not doing that. Now, I wasn't out at 2 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't out until midnight. I was out until about 11:59, you know what I mean? 11:59, and I came back in.
Just staying with your routine,
that's
right?
It.
Just staying
that's
with
it,
the regimen.
Yeah,
we're talking
it
to Terrell Davis. He's a Hall of Famer.
Keep it.
You know, you talk about the key to success in the Super Bowl. everybody talks about this, actually treat it like it's another game. But when you go out there, man, when you see the crowd and when you run onto the field and you realize, man, I've been busting my ass my entire life for this, and so have the other 52 guys in this locker room, can you really treat it like another game?
You can try, and I've tried, and you talked about it. There is a moment we all go through. The minute you walk onto that field and you hear the crowd, you see the lights, you see all the credentials, all the media, you see all this color, it hits you like a ton of brick. Huh. This is a huge game. And I'm telling you, I mean, I couldn't feel my hands. I couldn't feel anything. And I was like, all right, T, calm down, relax, reset. It's a big game, but you have to just kind of relax and get your body and your mind back to the way you had it before.
So when is the feeling?
I was completely drained, by the way.
Guys always talk about that, right?
Oh, I was exhausted.
Because of the adrenaline, you're exhausted already.
So through pregame warm-ups, I'm coming back into the locker room, and I am like, I feel like I had already played a game.
You can't breathe, right?
Can't breathe.
Right.
Can't breathe. It's suffocating. So when they talk about, let's say, experience.
Right.
That's the experience you get. Now you know, which I did in the second Super Bowl. Now I knew, okay, T, you can't burn yourself out before the game even starts. And you know how long the halftimes are. You know all these little things that the first time you're thinking about it, you're trying to figure out,
but you haven't been through it.
You haven't been through it. And until you've gone through it, now you know, and you're able to plan a little better.
We're talking to Terrell Davis. He will be all over it on Sunday. Let me ask you. So Bill Belichick, as we know, wants to take away your top weapon offensively every time. How do you think Todd Gurley is going to adjust to that? And if you're Sean McVay, what are you looking to do to make sure that Gurley gets his?
Get Gurley involved often, early. You got to get him going early. And even if you have to give him, like, screens or something that you can get the ball into his hands where he can get out in space and run. But I want to get Todd going early. You know, you got Belichick. You're right. He's going to try to take Gurley away, and there's no question about it. McVay has to find some creative ways to get the ball to Todd and say, hey, I know you plan to stop him, but we're not going to let you do it. And you got to be a little stubborn at times. I don't mean stubborn to the point where it's kind of reckless, where you're going for it on, like, third and five and you're running Todd Gurley. No, what I'm saying is let's just kind of get Todd involved where he's not thinking about the last game he had, and then he's building up all this anxiety about his game. Let's get him going so he feels real comfortable, because I really feel like he's had 2 weeks to think about this game and the one that he had against New Orleans. This is the time where he's like, hey, I got to prove that last week or 2 weeks ago.
TD, running back to running back, what happened to that guy? Or at least as you were watching him, what do you think he was dealing with? Because he didn't look right, obviously.
He didn't look right. And I thought initially that he was dealing with an injury. And not an injury where you can't run, but one where your mind is thinking about it too much.
Initially, you don't think that anymore?
Well, they came out and said that he's healthy. And he said that he's healthy. So if a man tells me he's healthy, I'm going to believe he's healthy. So it's either that or what? You think he just completely just...
Here's my thing. I don't believe them when they say that he's healthy, because you're right. I know where you're going with that. If he is healthy, then what? Then he's shut down.
Exactly.
And I don't think that guy stage is going to shut down. Not when he had the game he had against Dallas. That's my personal take.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Do you think he did? Does that look to you like a guy who the stage will be too big for? He put it on the ground and say, hey, man. And that's it, turtles?
So that's what I'm saying, Jim. You have two choices here.
Right.
One is that you believe that he was injured, but they're saying he's not. And right. Sean McVay came out and jumped on and said, no, he's healthy. I didn't get him involved. And then the other thing is, was the game too big for him? I refuse to believe the latter. I refuse to believe
that
Ty got into a game and said, oh, this game is too big for me. So that with that said, Ty's not healthy.
Terrell Davis joining us for a few more moments. Listen, before you go, I want to ask you about this. You've gotten into the CBD business.
Yeah.
How did that come to be, and what kind of an impact has that had on your body?
Oh, it's changed my life. It's changed my life. It had a transformative effect on my life. After I retired from football, I had chronic knee and joint pain. I've had anxiety. I've had inflammation in my body. And for years, I've dealt with migraine headaches, and I couldn't find an all-natural solution to it. And about a year and a half ago, I was introduced to CBD. And it changed my life. I mean, it really tickled things away. Back down to my playing weight. I've been using it every single day.
Dude, you do look great.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it allows me to work out again and feel like I'm back to being my age. Before, I was feeling like I was a 60-year-old man in a 40-year-old's body. So it's really transformed my life. We're doing it the right way. We're going about our product. It's been scientifically tested, third-party approved. And we have three drinks that's coming out in the spring. So We're looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Can you see a time where the league and team owners are going to be open to players using CBD as an anti-inflammatory product?
Yes.
When?
Yes, soon. Soon, because CBD is the part of it. It's the non-psychoactive part of the plant. It's the one that has all the benefits to it. And so it's an alternative. It's a solution to the pain medications that people are getting sort of, hooked on. And so to have this product out there, it's an all-natural product. And the league has been investigating this. They're looking into a better solution for the players. I know a lot of players who use this product, and they enjoy it. I mean, it really has changed their lives as well.
How could you not want a natural alternative to something else? You know, really quickly, you mentioned migraine headaches. I used to get them. I don't anymore. Do you know where they come from? I mean, was that?
They told me so.
What do you think?
Well, when I first had migraines, they gave me a list of all the things that can cause a migraine.
I can't wait to hear it.
Let me tell you this book. It's like an encyclopedia. It's so big. Everything can cause a migraine. And so part of it they put me on was anti-inflammatories, thing called Naprosyn. I was taking 2 Naprosyn a day to prevent it. Well, the CBD, it acts as that for me. I can't make any claims to anybody else, but for me, it acts as an anti-inflammatory, so which helps with my migraines. I haven't had one in over a year. So I don't know where they come from. They told me chocolate. They told me altitude.
I was going to say chocolate. That's my favorite one.
Meat, everything.
Stress, man.
Stress. You name it.
I think stress.
Sun. Being out in the elements. So
the surest way to get a migraine is to sit around and think about how you don't want to get a migraine. And then you'll get a migraine.
You get them?
Not as much as I used to. I did when I was younger, though.
Yeah.
And then they're not a hell of a lot of fun, actually.
I had one in the game in Super Bowl 32. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And did you, when you got them, did you have like a temporary loss of vision? And then the headache comes.
Yeah. I have the same system, a cycle every time. I'd have my vision would go out for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
Once that returned, I'd have these pounding headaches.
That's it.
And then after that would go away, I'd have nausea and vomiting.
That's it.
You have the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I had that.
Exactly that.
And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't. It was horrible.
I shouldn't even brought it up, man. We'll both get them. We'll both have one within 10 minutes, man. My
no, I'm not getting one. I'm not getting them anymore.
Terrell Davis.
I'm taking care of mine right now. I got them.
A Hall of Famer worked with the NFL Network and a big, big day. Super Bowl Sunday, a special 8.5-hour edition of NFL Game Day Morning airs at 9 a.m. Eastern. TD, good to see you, man. Thanks so much.
Jim, always.
Really appreciate you. Appreciate you. All right, we're coming right back. Off to a good start. Wall to wall on this Friday, last day of our Super Bowl run. I am going to work the pregame show on Sunday. When we come back, Christian McCaffrey joins us. Aaron Jones later on this hour. And I'll run down the guest list for you a little bit later on. Meantime, Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike, which brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home anytime you want. Winter or summer, rain or shine, with the Peloton bike, it's always the perfect weather to sweat. And with up to 14 live rides a day and over 10,000 more on demand, nothing will get between you and your workout. Peloton features live cycling classes streaming right to your home every day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors. So whether it's a monthly challenge to meet your goals or a training program for your next race or setting a new personal best, the Peloton bike will make you want to show up and keep climbing the leaderboard year-round. On average, Peloton members are riding their bikes more and more every year and crushing their personal records along the way. You can learn more about the Peloton bike at onepeloton.com, onepeloton.com, or check it out in a local showroom. There's one near you, onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It has been one of the best rows ever. You know, I've done this thing at least 25 times. I'm trying to think about the first time I did it. I want to say back to 94. I've done this every year since then. This has been one of the best weeks ever. And trust me, we're going to finish strong. We're off to a good start. We had Hall of Famer Terrell Davis, and we're joined right now by running back for the Carolina Panthers. He's already an All-Pro. He set the NFL record for most receptions by a running back with 107. He broke Steve Smith's franchise record for most receptions in a single season. He set the franchise record for most yards from scrimmage with 1965, 7 rushing TDs, 6 receiving TDs, 1 passing TD this season. There's more. A Heisman finalist, a 2-time All-American. He set the NCAA record for all-purpose yardage at Stanford, and today appears courtesy of Old Spice and their all-new Fresher Collection. Christian McCaffrey, bro, you haven't played that long. That's a long resume, man. You stay at this thing long enough, we won't even have an interview anymore.
Appreciate that. Yeah,
it's like a
heck of an
CBS
intro,
receipt,
man.
Dude.
I need that,
that's long.
I need that in the morning when I wake up. It'd be great.
Good stuff, dude. How you feeling, man? How are things going?
Yeah, I feel really good. Yeah, I wish I was playing this week, but I feel good.
All right, so you're not playing. That'd be the best thing. But, man, you've been getting after it now. Since the end of the season, you've been to Paris Fashion Week. You teased your involvement in a documentary about football in Germany. What's it been like the last few weeks? And I got to know, how was Fashion Week?
It was great. It was really good. I brought my mom and her best friend. Both of them had birthdays around the same time, so that was an absolute blast. That was my first time in Europe, and so we had a ball. It's very, very out of my element, I should say, but it was really cool to see new things, new culture, and obviously fashion I know absolutely nothing about, so it was cool to kind of see the difference.
Yeah, but mom's had to be fired up.
she was electric. That was right up her alley.
Dude, your first time in Europe, how was that? What was that like?
It was great. It was really good. I got to see, you know, obviously the culture. I went to the Louvre, went to the Notre Dame, and got to see, you know, the whole history and really put things into perspective. So it was a blast. I had a lot of fun.
Christian McCaffrey joining us. Now, you finished the season, as I mentioned, with 1,965 yards from scrimmage. You could have broken that 2,000-yard mark, but the decision was made to only play that one series in the season finale. Look, I get that you're about doing the right thing, but I also get you're a competitive guy. Was there any part of you that wished you could have taken that shot and actually gotten that 2,000?
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted it, but, it's Coach Rivera's call, and I listen to whatever he says, and he's got my best interest sometimes more than I do, and obviously it makes sense, and you know, I didn't argue with him at all because I know he'd give me some flack for it. But
I was going to say, it wouldn't get you anywhere.
No, it wouldn't. So he makes the calls, man. I trust him. He's the best, so I listen to him.
You know, in the meantime, in 8 of the 16 games, you played 100% of the offensive snaps for the season. You played more than 91% of the snaps, despite only being on the field for that one series in that last game. So how much pride do you take in that kind of durability and the fact that that team can count on you no matter what and that you're going to be out there and you're not coming off the field?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in that. You know, I think that's kind of my approach to my training. And, you know, everything I do during the week is taking care of my body and getting ready to roll so that I don't have to come out of the game on Sunday, you know, unless they need me to. So, you know, obviously you get some bumps and bruises here and there, but I felt great all year, and I was fortunate that nothing happened. And, you know, very, very, you know, I take a lot of pride in that.
Christian McCaffrey is my guest. So how do you approach the offseason? You had that break already, but do you need your body to rest and recover? Do you take time, or do you work right through it?
You know, you definitely, I think rest is essential, and that's something that's been very hard for me my whole life, is to rest. I grew up playing, you know, 3-4 sports, you know, always active doing stuff. And even in college, when the season went in, my whole mindset was I got to get back after it now, and always working. And I realized that it kind of started to hinder, you know, my production and kind of hinder the way my body felt. And so I've learned from guys like Luke, guys like TD, you know, guys like Greg on our team who do such a good job taking care of their bodies and staying healthy. And they always tell me just to rest, you know, give it a little bit of rest and wait to start training again. So I took their advice this year, and it's been great. My body feels better than ever, and ready. And I just started training again this last week, so excited to go.
Christian McCaffrey, my guest. Listen, when you talk about multiple sports, I mean, obviously, you're a different breed. You're a different kind of cat. You come from a very athletic family. I'm curious, though, the other sports, how much do they help you in football? And I bring it up because, like, I've got two sons, and we're all led to believe, man, you got to specialize. You can't play multiple sports. You got to play one sport.
Yeah.
And there's not enough time to do other sports. How much better are you off now because you played other sports?
Man, I think it's the greatest thing you can do, especially as a kid, is play multiple sports and, you know, even venture off into, like, something like music or art. You know, prepping different parts of your brain that I swear help in football. And, you know, I played basketball. You know, obviously you have the jumping ability, the hand-eye coordination. You know, it's fun. You're still, you know, within a team. It's a team game. I ran track for, you know, linear speed. You know, played baseball growing up. There's different things you can take out of that. And I swear, you know, playing basketball, running track was the greatest way to train for football growing up as a kid.
Christian McCaffrey joining us for a few more moments. I know your dad's bumping around the row somewhere. Now, your 107 receptions topped the single-season high for him, Ed. He had 101 in 2000. Is it something that you brought up, or does he just break out the Super Bowl rings, and does that end the conversation right then and there?
Yeah, he flashes the three rings, and the conversation's over. So I tried to make that call one time and it didn't work out. Yeah. And I've probably seen the rings once in my life, and I know if I were to ever say anything about that, he would whip them out quick.
Does he not break them out? He doesn't wear them. He doesn't break them out.
Nope, doesn't break them out. Huh. Keeps them safe.
I mean, obviously, you had a lot of respect for your dad and what he accomplished in the NFL, but now that you're in that league and you know what it takes, do you have a newfound respect or even more respect for what he did in the career he had?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'll never forget Coach Rivera said something that hit me my rookie year. He's like, to play double-digit years in the NFL is something that's remarkable and, you know, applaudable. And my dad played 13, obviously had the success that he had, played through a lot of injuries, man, was tough. You know, he had the skill set that you would want in a number one receiver. And just to do it the way he did, man, I think it's something as a son, you know, it's easy for me to look up to somebody who did it the right way and, you know, had a blast playing ball and gave it his all for 13 years.
Christian McCaffrey, my guest. I'm going to ask you about Old Spice in 1 second. I want to ask you one thing about Cam Newton. He had shoulder surgery last week. I mean, listen, he could have shut it down. A lot of guys would have said, it's just not worth it. I'm not right. I don't need to deal with the pain. I'm not playing that well. But he kept grinding it out. He did everything he possibly could to get on the field every single week and try to win games for you guys. What did that say to you about him as a person and as a leader? And did that resonate in that locker room?
Yeah, 100%. I think Cam has got a warrior mentality. You watch him, you know, diving for the pylon. You watch him throwing out blocks on safeties, on reverses, you know, the second efforts to fight for the first downs. You know, playing next to him, it motivates you. You know, it gets you going a little bit. That energy, that passion for the game excites you. And, you know, obviously wish he was healthier. Everybody wishes he was healthier. He wishes he was healthier. But he's just got that fighter mentality in him that he doesn't want to quit. And if he's going to sit out, it's going to be the coach's call, not his.
Listen, you're a Stanford man. I have great respect for guys who went to Stanford. You minored in film in college. You got to tell me about that documentary.
Yeah,
you're involved in.
Yeah.
How did that first come to be? What's it about?
So it's been going on for about 3 years now. And a buddy of mine, Nick Alfieri, who's the brother of one of my best friends in college, Joey Alfieri, played football at Georgetown. Then he got a scholarship to USC Film School, which is the number one film school in the world. About 3 months into it, decided to drop out and go play football in Germany, a small town in Germany called Schwäbisch Hall. They're the unicorns. That's why the film's called Unicorn Town. And he asked me if I wanted to be a part of a documentary. He was going to film his journey. And at the time, I was like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, most of it was him sending me clips. And I'd be like, that looks great, man. He's very talented. And, you know, we would adjust things here and there. And we finished it about 4 months ago.
Are you on camera? Or are you EPing? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm not on camera. It's a doc on his journey and the team's journey.
Okay.
And so I'm help out with editing and kind of getting it out there, obviously. My title is executive producer. But it's me, Brent, Nick, and then the cinematographer Sven, and then we're in the final stages of post-production right now. But it's really us four, and other than that, that's all it took to make this. I mean, Nick filmed it, Sven filmed it when Nick was playing, and it's a really remarkable story about this team's journey, who's a small town in Germany, and just kind of the influence American football has in a place like Europe. I mean, I don't think that's ever touched the screen before. So
I love that.
It's
so
exciting.
Where do you think that's going to end up?
I don't know. That's kind of our next process. I mean, we would love for someone to see it and to fall in love with it the way we did. Obviously, we still got a few things here and there where we're going to change. And at some point, we're going to have to just say this is it, because we want it to be so perfect and we're working so hard on it that you know, we're very excited to see where it'll go.
Dude, you're a filmmaker now. That's how you do that. Before you go, you're working with Old Spice in the new All Fresher collection. It features 5 new body washes with real ingredients. Break it down. What is the collection all about?
Well, it's been great being able to work with them. Yeah, I think you just hit it. My favorite, this one right here, the exfoliation with charcoal is saying the best one. Like you said, real ingredients, real results. I mean, it smells great. They just five of them just launched too, so it's their new Fresher collection, which has been cool to be able to work with these guys and to see different ones of these. As an athlete, obviously having to shower all the time, it's good to have good product.
And it's good to have somebody who can pitch that product, man. You nailed that. Way to go.
Thank you.
Christian, really good to see you. I appreciate the time. As always, nice to have you on the show. Look forward to doing it again next season, too.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Christian McCaffrey, he had a huge year. Really, really good year. All right, we're halfway through hour number one. I could slide you in probably. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. One thing I have to do today, I've got to give away that Masterbuilt smoker. Best content gets it, all right? It can be a tweet. It can be an email. It can be a telephone call. Best content gets it. Hit me up right now.
Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. We are live in Atlanta, the site of Super Bowl 53. I'm on Radio Row. I've been here since Monday, and we are cruising. This has been one of the all-time weeks. Make sure you leave it all out there, man. It's really cheesy, really corny, but the grind does include Friday. Finish strong. Everything you do tonight, you'll enjoy a lot more if you put it out there. We're talking Packer football right now. I'm joined by running back for the Packers. 934 yards from scrimmage, 9 touchdowns in 12 games this year. He finished the season with the 4th highest rushing grade according to Pro Football Focus. He was a first-team all-conference player at UTEP. He set the record for career rushing yardage and 100-yard games there. The 182nd pick overall in 2017. Aaron Jones is my guest. Aaron, good to see you, man. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good. I'm great. How's this week treating you?
It's treating me good. Love being here at the Super Bowl. Hope you wish I was playing in it, but...
Always. That's the best thing. But as you look around here and you see Radio Row, it seems like you got acclimated pretty quickly. What do you make of this whole scene?
It's very fun. You never know who you're going to see here. You're walking by. Like, I saw Kevin Hart earlier. Saw Tiki Barber. You never know who you're going to see.
Now you're slumming it with me, man.
No.
That'll happen, dude.
I'm glad to be up here with you.
Now you're in the ghetto with me, man. All right, so earlier this week on Wednesday, you and your twin brother, Alvin, were at Fort Bliss in El Paso to spend some time with soldiers, present some memorabilia. What was that visit like?
It was a special visit. That's where me and my brother, when we first moved to El Paso, we lived on base, and I lived there up until I went to college. So I grew up there. Seen pretty much the whole base get built and everything. So it was an honor to go back and just thank those soldiers for protecting us, giving back, and being able to meet them.
So when they saw you come back, I mean, obviously they remembered you. What was it like for them to see you? How did they react to you when you came back and your brother?
Oh, that was very excited. Can we get pictures, autographs? Even had some kids come up there with 33 jerseys, and that gets me excited. That gets me going.
That's really cool. Aaron Jones joining us. Now, for those who don't know, you and I have talked about in the past, but your father is a retired Army Command Sergeant Major Alvin Jones Sr. Your mother, Virgis, served 27 years before retiring as a sergeant major. What was it like growing up with two parents who served?
It was a lot of yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Using your manners, being respectful, being cordial, being on time, and just getting your schoolwork done. Schoolwork was the most important thing, and then it was sports. So if we handled our business in the classroom and used our manners, we wouldn't have any problems at home.
Did you always handle your business in the classroom? And if you didn't, then what happened?
I always made good grades, but it would be sometimes in the semester where you start doing a little worse than before. And that's when my mom would get on me, and she'd make sure I get back right and let me know education is everything. Education is the most important thing.
You learned some amazing lessons, but it's not easy. Like, for instance, your parents served a combined 56 years. It included a number of overseas trips, including a time in 2003 when they were both in Iraq. At the same time, that could not have been easy. What do you remember about that time when they were both gone?
No, it was definitely not easy. As a little kid, I think I was in second grade at the time. Second or third grade? No, I was in second grade, and my dad left first, and then my mom was like, hey, I have to leave. You guys are going to go with your aunt and uncle. So my grandpa came and picked us up and drove us to Virginia from Tennessee, and we were in Virginia starting school. It was definitely hard being away from my parents at such a young age. And when that's all you know, you come home from school and they're there. They pick you up from school. And so that's all you know. And then not knowing if they're going to come home, you hear a war. At that age, you don't know. You hear about war when you're learning in school and you're thinking, oh.
Did you understand what they did exactly, precisely at that age?
No, I a little bit, but when you hear war, you think the first thing at that age, I had never seen a war, been around a war. So coming from the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, their front lines, they're shooting. So that's what I'm thinking at that age. And
wow.
I'm not knowing if I'm going to see my parents. And so it played a role. It hurt.
Dude, that is really heavy. I mean, not only to be with your parents, to be separated with your parents, but not know if they're coming back or not. Aaron Jones joining us. But they did, of course, and your father set up retirement so he could be out of the Army by your senior year of high school, and he went to every one of your games your college career. Your mom attended all but one. What did that level of support mean to you?
It means everything. They're showing me the right way. When I have kids, they show me the right way. I'm going to be there, be very supportive for my kids. And it gives me a sense of comfort when I can turn and know they're in the stands. I might not be able to find them, but I know they're there. Or most games I can't find them. I'll turn around and I can spot them too out. I don't know how, but I can. And it's just a sense of comfort. When I just turn to see them, I'm like, okay, I can play my game.
Packer running back Aaron Jones joining us. You know, you scored on a 6-yard run against Minnesota. I want to ask you about that. You and Davante Adams dropped a crank that dance on everybody. First off, where did the idea come from? And then how pleased were you with the execution?
So first, I want to give a shout out to my former teammates in college, my group of friends. We lived in apartments, so we called each other Kalinas Boys. That was the name of our apartments. One of the guys texted me, he's like, hey, you should do the Soldier Boy. I'm like, Soldier Boy? He's like, yeah. And then so right before we went out on the field, I told Tay, I was like, hey, I'm going to do the Soldier Boy if I score. He was like, all right, we could do it if I score or you score. And I was like, okay. So no practice, just got out there. And I didn't realize how hard it is to dance without music. And, right. Like, dance in front of somebody, try to be on the same beat, like, everything. So that was pretty hard. But it was fun. I mean, like you said, crank that. Like, nobody did it. So it was fun, creative.
And listen, this might not be the end of it either. You guys nailed it. You and Devontae are up for celebration of the year at tomorrow's NFL owners. Now, you know you're up against the Titans bowling celebration, the Chiefs CPR celebration, the Seahawks choreography celebration. How do you like your chances tomorrow night, and what would it mean to bring that hardware home?
It would mean a lot. I'd be very happy to bring that home. I'm going to talk about the other celebrations. CPR, I mean, that's...
Break it down for me.
The bowling, they're all good celebrations. But the bowling, you've seen that before.
Okay.
CPR, you could do that. You've seen that before.
I've seen it. I could do it.
Nobody else would have done the Soldier Boy if I wouldn't have done the Soldier Boy. They might have done it this year because Soldier Boy is starting to come back out.
Right.
But nobody would have done the Soldier Boy. That's a classic.
Okay.
And it wasn't practiced. It was just, hey, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with you. Okay.
I like that.
The Seahawks, theirs was really nice, but they practiced that. That was a
Is that your biggest competition, do you think?
I think it is. I feel like if I don't win, they're going to win, but I hope I win.
All right, we'll find out tomorrow. That's going to be good. You know, ultimately, the season didn't go the way the team would have liked, and it led to Mike McCarthy being replaced as head coach. When you look back on the season, what do you think?
When I look back on the season, we were in every game. We pretty much in every game, and we just had to finish at the end, and we didn't. And towards the end of the season, we got there, but it was a little too late. But I feel like that was the biggest thing. Like, we were in the game against the Rams. We were in the game... came down to the last possession, fumbled. The Patriots, we're in that game. I fumbled in the fourth quarter. It's little mental mistakes that we can correct that's on us, and we feel like we're right there. We're right there on the cusp. We're right there with the two Super Bowl teams. There's no reason we shouldn't be here. We just had things we had to fix, and I feel like we're better for that, and next year's our year.
We're talking to Packer Aaron Jones for a few more moments. You know, early in the season, it seemed like you were not getting a lot of carries. Packer fans were getting angry. They were confused, kind of freaking out, because every time you did touch the ball, you were putting up numbers. Did you yourself understand at that time why you weren't getting the carries that maybe you would have liked, and did it confuse you too?
No, sir, I didn't know why. Only thing I could think of was coming off a suspension. Coach trying to punish me. I don't know. I didn't ask. I just do what's told of me, and if they going to give me the ball one time, I'm going to make the most out of that one carry. If they're going to give it to me 10 times, I'm going to make the most out of those 10 carries. So I don't ask questions. I just do what I'm told to do and go play my game.
Well, then starting in late October, though, they started feeding the ball more, and you started putting up numbers once again. What was that like? And when you're getting consistent work, is it a lot easier, it has to be, to get into a rhythm?
It is easier to get into a rhythm once you get a couple carries. You get in the flow of the game. Then the defense doesn't know whether you're going to pass or run the ball. So then it opens it up for you. And then with 12 at quarterback, I mean, they're going to want to play another DB on the field. So it's going to make it easier for me.
Hey, what about 12? As an example, like, what's it like playing with Aaron Rodgers? You know, when you first get to the team, is there any look, you're a player. You earn the right to be there. But is there any intimidation at all in playing with a future Hall of Famer like that guy? Or is he just one of the fellas?
Well, you know, you better be on your P's and Q's because he knows so much. Like, he knows what everybody's doing on the field. So it just expects you to know your job. Like, not everybody else's job, but your job. If he can remember everybody else's, what everybody else has to do, he expects you to be able to remember yours. And but if you don't, like, be like, hey, what do I have on this route? He'll tell you. But he makes the game easy for you. He'll be like, on a blitz pickup, be like, yeah, you have him. So it makes it easy for me. I don't have to read. I can look. If they're not coming, I'm out on my route. So he makes it easy for me. Or even like when he holds the cadence, you see guys who are up on the line of scrimmage running out, and then they gave away that they're not blitzing, or they gave away that they are blitzing. So that helps me out. I know I'm picking him up then. If he shows he's blitzing and you hold the cadence and he still's there, I know he's coming.
Aaron Jones, my guest. You know it. Now, when you look at the weapons you have on offense and you've got a new head coach in Matt LaFleur, how excited are you for the coming season? And what do you think that new offense is going to look like?
I'm very excited. We have a lot of weapons coming back next year, and I feel like we have some of the best weapons in the league. And I'm excited about the new head coach. I haven't got the chance to meet him. I know they run a lot of outside zone schemes, so I'm ready for that. And he likes to be balanced. I did read that, so I'm ready.
Do you think that that's something that could turn around pretty quickly? Could you be looking at a postseason or a playoff berth next season? Could it turn that fast?
I definitely think so. I feel like a lot of times it does have to do with coaching, but it's players in the locker room. Like, you're going to have your core veteran guys back. So we will be under a new system, not the defense, but the offense. We'll be under a new system. But if you get that system down and you have the veterans in place, it shouldn't be no let off, even with the new coach coming in. Change shouldn't affect that.
That's the last thought. In the offseason, you're going to work with your brother, Alvin. You played linebacker at UTEP, and he's going to line up across from you while you run routes. What do you think those battles are going to be like? Have you started that work yet?
I think the battles are going to be just like old times when we were little kids going at it. I think my dad might have to come break us up once or twice. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to get both of us better, and that's what I love about having my brother there, my twin brother. He's always there with me, pushing me to get me better. And it helps that he plays on the other side of the ball. He plays linebacker. I can ask him, like, hey, on this play, like, what did you see? Like, what could I have done better? Like, what are you reading? Or on this play, like, you have me, man. What are your thoughts? Like, are your thoughts not to let me inside? Like, just things like that. And like you said, I can line up and run routes against him. Like, not every, like, if you're a single child, you can't go and run routes. You're going to run routes on air. Like, you can't. You don't have anybody. So that's
best.
Why I'm thankful for my brother.
So what's it like? I mean, are you guys, like, out there trying to kill each other? But or as twins, is it all about building each other up?
Now it's about building each other up. We used to try to take each other's heads off.
Right. How could you not? On some level, right?
Yes, sir. Even in college, Coach would make us go against each other every now and then, and we would try to take each other's head off. And now we're not on the same team. And so now when we're training, it's more. But I do miss the competition with them.
I was going to say, man, so, like, was it weird and was it hard or was it cool? I mean, I would think that playing with your twin brother would be the best thing of all, unless you got to go at this guy every day in practice.
I feel like he made me better. It was a lot of fun for me going against him. He only hit me really once. We got into it after that. But other than that, he would just tag off on me. But he would definitely make me better.
Packers running back had 934 yards from scrimmage last year, 9 touchdowns in 12 games. And looking forward to another big season. Aaron Jones is my guest. Aaron, good to see you in person. I really appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time to do that. Hope we can do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Really good to see you. Talking Packer football, Aaron Jones on Radio Row. All right, that's almost 1 hour down. Let me do this. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. And I'm giving away a Built, Master Built Smoker. Thank you, man. Saying goodbye to Aaron. Class act. All right, so I'm giving away the Master Built Smoker. We have to do this today. We have to move this thing today. Best content contribution. You can hit me up on the phones, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, checking out the rest of the day. If you're wondering what we're looking at, coming up next segment, Robert Mathis, a 14-year NFL vet. He is a pass rush consultant for the Colts. He was on the show not that long ago and did great. We'll have him talk about his team and break down the Super Bowl. Alvin Kamara, 2-time Pro Bowl running back, also next hour. Denver Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall, next hour. third hour, setting up very nicely Hall of Famer Jerry Rice, a Radio Row legend. He will be at the top of hour number three. I've got Jalen Smith, Dallas Cowboys linebacker, right here on the row. And then a two-time Pro Bowl corner for the Detroit Lions, Darius Slay. Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question. Listen a little bit later on. I might answer yours. And you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm not giving you my prediction yet. I've been going back and forth all week long. In fact, the reason I haven't given you my prediction is because I'm still not sure. Believe it or not, I've been flip-flopping all week long. I'm going to have a prediction for sure by Sunday on the NFL and CBS. So if I don't get it to you today, you want to look for that. The NFL and CBS on Sunday. All right, we're coming right back. Hour number two straight ahead. Robert Mathis joins me next. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. We are live in Atlanta on Radio Row. Don't go anywhere.